I know people have different excuses. They're extremely creative in giving excuses also, but that is their lifestyle. But I make it a point not to give excuses because so I'm the one who's going to be hurt, not you. So from the lifestyle, that is from the exercise and from the relationships, be present, not just being present, be 100% present in wherever you are.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Vish Muni is an active real estate investor in single and multifamily apartments. He holds a single family portfolio and a GP and LP in over $30 million in assets under management. His claim to fame is that he is a true lifestyle investor in motion. And he lives by these principles every day of having a balanced lifestyle, focusing on fitness, family, education, traveling, and of course, his relationships. Vish, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam, for having me on your show. So I'm really excited.
Absolutely. The pleasure's mine. I think this will be a fun topic today because these are things I think that all of us aspire to, but maybe don't spend as much time focusing on that perhaps we could or should. Before we get to that, though, I'd love to hear just quickly, you know, where you started professionally, where you are now, and then how you got there, maybe in a 90-second clip.
Well, fast forward, I started as an IT professional. In 2009, me and my wife started a real estate company called Duplexaholics. I don't want people to laugh. It's not alcoholics. It's a Duplexaholics with the intention of buying one duplex for 10 years. But fast forward, after 5 years, we hit a wall. It told the banks refused to give us any money. We maxed out credit cards, the business line of credit, and we were able to pull together for the next 5 years. And after 10 years, I decided there should be a better way out. So I did some research and came across something called syndication, which was Greek and Latin in 2019. That is about 2 years back. And I did educate myself, and I didn't want to spend another 10 years learning things and doing it by myself. So I decided to join a mentoring group. And fast forward, now I've invested in 3 different syndications as an LP and 4 different syndications as a general partner. And that is where I am right now in terms of investing.
That's fantastic. I would assume that moving forward, your main objective is to be a GP, or is it to be on the LP side?
Well, given my lifestyle, I would like to have a balance of both, because if I'm investing in somebody's deal as a limited partner, that's only because I like them or I like the deal. I mean, first and foremost for me, because what I've realized is life and business is all about relationships. And I would invest in your deal if I like you and the deal comes next. So I like to have a mix of both as a limited partner and a general partner because of the variety it brings to the deal. That is what I love it, how the deal comes together. So I don't want to miss that excitement.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. Now that we have a kind of an understanding of where you are today, let's talk about how it may be not so much on the LP side, but maybe on the GP side, how you selected your partners that you work with, what your roles and responsibilities are. And then I want to hear how you frame that around your investor or lifestyle investor in motion kind of thesis there, if you will.
Well, Sam, to be honest, every day I'm so excited about being in multifamily investing. I don't feel like I'm working at all because I love what I do. Anything, whatever I do, has to be in sync with my lifestyle. Otherwise, I don't do it because I don't want to spend any time doing things which I don't enjoy. To answer your question, how did I find all the right people to work with? I'm a people person. I love to meet people in person. So as long as I can drive 2 to 3 hours, I would tell them I'll buy you a lunch, I'll buy you coffee, I'll buy you dinner. So I love to meet people before I do business with them, or I need to know something, or I need to have a common friend. Otherwise, I would never do business with them. That is number one. Number two is all about relationships. I need to know their track record. I need to know whether I can trust them or not trust them. And I need to know how long they've been in business, what is their credibility, and do they stand by what they speak? Because I'm investing in people, not in the deal. Because if I don't trust that person, if the deal is going south, they're going to abandon ship. So that is how I pick people. And I tell people I'm in it for the long time, not just one deal or two deals. So that is the next thing. And how I bring it all together, I like networking. So I'm always meeting new people to learn something new, because everybody's journey is not easy. Everybody has challenges. And how did everyone overcome that for what they are and what is their mindset? So that is number one, networking. Number two is relationships. And number three is the quality of time, what I spend with them, because it is not the quantity. I mean, I could be sitting in front of you, but I might be looking at my phone all the time. That is not giving you 100% time. So I put my phone on do not disturb mode when most of the time when I'm meeting with my family or my friends. So that's what I do. That's what I like about this business. And that is how I identify people, identify deals and work with them.
Yes. And this is, speaking with someone yesterday about this, this is a very, very relationship heavy business. And without those, I mean, it's going to be tough, of course, to move forward. When you found your operating partners that you're working alongside of on the GP side, assuming you established those, you know, credentials up front, figured out that you liked them, you know them, you trust them, what were your roles inside of that once you said, hey, let's partner up and start doing things on the general partnership side?
Well, since the general partnerships itself is all everything new for the first time I was doing, and I'm always operating in a uncomfortable zone. I'm not very comfortable being in a comfortable situation. I'm not one of those guys, you'll find me sitting and watching TV or browsing on the internet all day long. So I like to take on new challenges, because coming from the background where I've been in fitness all my life, and I played soccer. And so I realized the importance of being in a team environment, because so that is why I give a lot of importance to relationships and teams. And what was my role being a GP is all the four deals I've been involved as a capital raiser, and I do asset management, I do investor relations. So that has been my primary role, because I feel that raising capital is a fantastic job to do, because that connects everybody in the deal, everybody, because everyone wants to know what's happening inside the deal. Because me not just talking to the lender, but if I'm with the investor, I'm updating the investor what is going on in the deal. And while I'm in touch with the operating team and the management team.
Right. I like that. How did you select, you know, because a lot of times in this business, especially if you're the new guy into the deal or the new team member, if you will, in the general partnership, you know, the current sponsors may have a deal flow that maybe you can't participate in every deal, especially as a new capital raiser. How did you select which opportunities to jump in on?
Well, number one is most of my four GP deals, out of the four, three of them are in Texas. And now since I'm getting started with working as a general partner, and I would like to be part of the due diligence. So that way I get a feel of the property. Because if I'm asking you to invest in my deal, your first question is going to be to me, how much do I know about the property? Because that is how I look at it. I don't want to pay too much attention to anyone could prepare a fancy presentation, get some videos and get some aerial shots and have a fancy presentation. But the key is, so I like to have boots on the ground. So that is number one. So I tell people whether I'm involved in your deal or not, can I participate being a part of your due diligence? So that way I get to meet the people. I get to know more about the property. And then I take a step back. Then I tell them, well, okay, if there is room, I would love to be involved in this deal. And that is when, because there have been deals where people say, we have too many people, we have too many cooks in the kitchen. And I told them, that's fine. I'll step away. I have nothing against you. It's just that I don't want to be another cook there. You already have 10 people there. It gets too crowded. So sometimes I think it is worth, because the relationships is the key. And most of the time, I've known the operators well ahead of time. And I know all the other general partners also before they got on the deal. So that way there is already an existing relationship. It is just a matter of that deal was an excuse for everyone of meeting in the deal.
Right. I like that. That's great. Thanks for kind of pulling back the curtains on a little bit of that, how you think about that. That's fun. Let's kind of move over maybe to your lifestyle in motion. You know, I think that's kind of what you have as a claim to fame is you like a lifestyle in motion. How do you, amidst discomfort, because I know you said you don't, and I want to hear more about that too, where you said, hey, I don't like being comfortable. I'm uncomfortable being comfortable. So how do you balance being uncomfortable and then focusing on all the other parts of your life that you want to call your lifestyle How do you balance all that?
Starting with my day, I'll tell you my typical day, so that way you would know how my lifestyle fits into my day. I start my day at 4:30. I do a 1 hour of either group exercise or I go for a run before 6:30 in the morning. And that is getting up at 4:30 is putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation, out of comfort zone straight away. And then I take a cold shower. I've been taking cold showers for almost 5 years or 6 years. So that is the number two.
Let's talk about that for a second. Is that cold shower, no hot water, all cold shower?
Yes, all cold shower.
Oh, that's courageous, man. I know you're in Texas and based in Texas, but still, I don't care if it's 100 degrees, an ice cold shower is tough. How did you train yourself to do that and why?
Well, the key is, like as I told, I've been an athlete all my life. So every time I go for a run, come back, I like to just wash my feet, wash my face at least before getting in. And since I'm already sweaty and having a hot water doesn't make me any comfortable. So that is how I slowly got into it. And now it's become a habit. And that's what wakes me up. It feels me, energizes me in the mornings. And to be honest, people laugh at me when I tell them hot water. I feel I'm sweating when I come out of the shower. So I don't like that feeling. So I want to. And then after that, I need to get my daughter to school. At that time, I'm not looking at my cell phone till about 8 o'clock is away. And then now I'm beginning to learn how to say no to a lot of things because it's very easy. People steal your time because it's their agenda versus yours. So if I don't say no, it means my time is hijacked and I get into their calendar, which I like to have my own calendar and follow my rules.
How do you say no? And I keep interrupting you, and I'm sorry, but you got too much here that I want to unpack before we move on to the next step. How do you say no, and how do you prioritize the things that you want to fit into your calendar versus, you know, following maybe somebody else's agenda for you?
I could take a step back and tell you, like, I get an unexpected call at 9 o'clock. I got a call this morning at 9:15. AM. And that call is a very important call. And I had to tell them, listen, I know this is very important. I'm really happy to hear from you. But is it okay if I call you back by 2 PM? Because I have something else going on. I acknowledge their call. That is number one. I thank them for calling. And I told them I'm busy. Is it okay if I call you back by 2 PM? So I close the entire loop. And some cases they say, no, 2 PM, I'm busy. But how about 2:30? Either way, I got a confirmation from them without being rude to them. So, I mean, over a period of time, I realized if I keep taking every call and if I keep replying to every email, I won't get anything done by the end of the day.
Is there any, on the topic of email, this is a sore spot for me personally, and I'm trying to do a lot better job of not checking email until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon even. Like I've got my things to do and I'm with you. I'm managing an agenda. I want my, what I call, you know, the Eisenhower matrix, urgent, important, right? I want to put it in the urgent and the important. I want to tackle those things first. And email typically isn't it, because you can go down 1,000 rabbit holes with email. Is there any productivity hack or tool that you use that helps you manage that email inbox to where you're only filtering through the most important items?
Well, you can set up filters for keywords. That is number one. Like if you want to, your priority is to look emails from just me, okay? Just say Muni. I want to see only emails from Muni. So I straight away go to that folder and see if there's any emails from Muni. If there's no emails, I don't even want to think about any other emails. Number one, you can set up alerts. You say only if emails coming from this person alert me, I look at it. Otherwise, I don't want to. Because it is so easy for you to lose track of time. And the minute you realize, oh, it's lunchtime, I haven't even had my breakfast.
Right.
So I don't want to be caught up in this because I spent a lot of time chasing too many rabbits. And it took me 10 years to realize that, you know, I'm not going to cover too much distance if I keep doing that. I just need to just pick one race, one rabbit and do that.
I love that. I've got another question on that front. You know, a lot of what we hear, especially on the capital raise side, is the production of content, reaching out to investors, having a presence online. How do you, if you do, I don't know if you do this or not, but how do you manage that aspect of your business without, again, I mean, LinkedIn, Facebook, those places are black holes for time. How do you manage that?
I have a select group of people I follow, and my priority on any given day is if I see if they have anything out there, either on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. If they don't have anything, then I'm out of that place. I spend 10 minutes on Instagram, 10 minutes on Facebook, and I need to be spending more time on LinkedIn. So that way, like you're telling, it's very easy to lose track of time. And you one link takes to another one. By the time you realize it's 2 hours has gone by and
done nothing.
And you would forget why you went there in the first place.
Exactly. It's like a bad casino, man. You get in there and the carpet just goes in a dizzying maze. You're like, where am I? And how did I
get? Why did I get you?
Get me out. It's feeling of, or going into IKEA, it's a feeling of panic. You get in there and you're like, I have no idea how to exit this place.
So that is why I set time management tools. Like you, I have a chart matrix, urgent and important, not urgent, and important, but urgent. So that way you figure out where they need to fit in. And that is why I set time limits on it, because it's the Facebook and Instagram, it's okay to spend time on it, but I don't think it is for me. I don't think I should be spending all day on that. Right. So, and then on any given day, like you're getting back to the lifestyle, I focus on these two things, anything for that matter. It has to fit into the two aspects, either they're income generating activities. That is number one. If I'm going to mow my yard, is that an income generating activity? No, absolutely not. It can wait. And what the next is the minimum wage activities, like washing my car, unless it is my passion, I shouldn't be wasting my time washing my car. I'd rather go pay somebody $10 and get it washed while they're washing the car. I can sit back and take that important phone call. Because my time, your time is more valuable. So I focus on anything. Anyone asks me for any appointment, I see it's an income generating activity or a minimum wage activity, and then prioritize. So that's what I do. And what's my lifestyle on any given day? Relationships, time management, the quality of time, and my health. So basically health, relationships, and your family. And education. So these are the four important things I focus on. And any given day, I need to touch upon these four.
How do you audit? I mean, certainly, there are things that will throw these out of whack temporarily, and there's no way to get around some of that. I think we talked about this maybe off recording, which was that this morning you weren't able to get your exercise in right away because there's something that came up where you had to take your daughter to school or something at 6 a.m. You know, that happens. But how often do you audit and rebalance, as opposed to rebalancing a portfolio, rebalancing your lifestyle?
So let me start with my exercise. So there are multiple ways of doing my exercise. However busy you are, you can fit in 10 minutes of 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Since most of us work from home now, you could go for a walk around your neighborhood for 10 minutes, or you could just get a jump rope and go do jump rope for 10 minutes.
Boy, that's really hard, actually.
Right. So I mean, my favorite exercise is burpees. You could crank out probably 100 burpees in 30 minutes. So there's no excuse for anyone telling that if it is important to you, you will get it done. You will get it done. I mean, if it is raining, so what? Just get a rain jacket and just go for a walk. Don't give that excuse. I mean, you could exercise at home. So I know people have different excuses. They're extremely creative in giving excuses also, but that is their lifestyle. But I make it a point not to give excuses because I'm the one who's going to be hurt, not you. So from the lifestyle, that is from the exercise, and from the relationships, be present, not just being present, be 100% present in wherever you are. When I'm at home, I always make it a point to have breakfast with my family and dinner with my family and give them full attention. I mean, not just being by the table with my cell phone or my laptop, I keep them away. So it's okay for 1 hour, we can wait. So, but give them time, let them know that, listen, my time is important, but your family is more important, because I could have all the money, but what if I don't have my health and family? What am I going to do? Right? So that's from the family. And number three is education. So I make it a point to read every day. That is number three from the education. So I touched upon health, family, relationships, and education. So you could do it. I mean, you don't even feel stressed out. You just make it a lifestyle. You don't need to have a calendar. You don't need a motivational guru, or you don't need anything. Just make it disciplined. That's all.
That's it, you know, and that's, you know, how they said it, I forget, but I'm probably going to butcher it, so forgive me. But it was something like, you have to choose your hard, right? Like, if you don't exercise, you're going to, you know, get out of shape, potentially become overweight, and then have health complications. That's hard. Well, exercise and proper nutrition and paying attention to what you eat, that's also hard, but maybe not as hard. It's just a discipline. But so you still have to choose. You're going to have to deal with hard one way or the other. So pick one. And, you know, the results will speak for themselves. I think that's really interesting, just the how you talk about also the discipline of being present. I mean, in this day and age, man, you've got everything screaming for your attention all at once, and very little of it, I think, deserves it. And like you said, you got LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, your cell phone dinging at you, you got emails coming, you got text messages, people calling you. It's like, and to be able to disconnect, spend time with your family, man, that's admirable and a great example you're setting, both to your kids and to the rest of us, saying, hey, man, disconnection is okay. So that's really fantastic. Was there a breaking point, or was there was there just kind of that light bulb moment somewhere in your career when you said, I've got to change something, and this is what how the focus became?
This happened 2 years back after me being an IT professional for 15 years and self-employed and being a real estate investor since 2009. I do have a single family portfolio. So what does a breaking point came in 2018? When I filed my taxes and I had to audit what has been going on. I've been a real estate investor. People talk about lifestyle and having able to retire in 2 years or 3 years. And what am I doing wrong? That was my breaking point. I mean, am I a loser or what it is? And realized I was doing everything right. But the key is there's a different industry altogether where economies of scale was in some different real estate class, not in single family homes. So I needed a team. So that was my breaking point. I told I had to do something. And what was I doing? I used to work for 15 hours a day. And I thought I was extremely productive because I was working so hard. But then I had to take a step back and say, you know, at this rate, I'm not covering any distance. I'm not making more money and I'm not getting any better with my health. And age, death, and taxes, these three are not going to stop for anybody, right?
Right.
So I had to decide at that point in time, what is it? I had to say no to everything what I was doing. I had to say, I'm going to stop spending time at the single family homes, and I'm going to stop doing so many businesses, and I need to pick what is my passion and how I'm going to build my lifestyle around it. And that happened in 2018. So now after that, I've not looked back, and I'm glad it happened. So now I chase just one rabbit and I just going in one direction. That's it. And all others is all noise and shiny objects.
Has there been any temptation along the way as new deals or different asset classes or opportunities came along that was tough for you to say no to?
Well, different asset class, yes, that temptation is always there because being in real estate and someone or the other is coming in and telling me, hey, would you consider the storage house? Would you consider mobile homes? Would you consider a land development? So there's shiny objects, there's temptations are every day. But I need to tell them no. But you know what? It took me a lot of time to get to this point where I am. So I don't want to deviate at this point in time. Definitely, yes, I love multiple streams of income. I need a different asset class. But how about I just focus on one class for the next 6 months to 1 year? So that is how I've been, without telling no to that opportunity, but it's just a matter of time. I have no plans of doing anything now, but 6 months or 1 year from now, yes, I would want to do that.
That's awesome. I love that deferral without saying no. That's really brilliant. Vish, I've enjoyed this. I love your approach. I love your streamlined thinking, you know, the, like you say, chasing one rabbit, because certainly we can all get caught chasing way too many at once. I love that you kind of broke it down for us, how you deal with time management, how you deal with lifestyle management, and, you know, just your overall approach to business and life. I think this is really refreshing, and it's something that we could all use a reminder on more often. Let's jump here into the final few questions. The first one is this: if you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be? And how would you avoid it?
Well, tell them to get a mentor. That's number one. And tell them not to do everything on their own. Just even after getting a mentor, they need to pick one asset class. Just one asset class and just go after that.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish you'd have told me that 6 years ago. You'd have saved me a lot of heartache.
I wish I had known about it 10 years back.
Absolutely, man. That's sage advice. Love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I like to be conscious about single-use plastics. That is number one. I don't use any single-use plastics at all. I stopped buying. I carry my own shopping bags. I carry my own water bottles. And I know different people have different approaches, but I can't speak for everybody, but I can only keep my place clean. I can only clean my car. I can't clean everybody's car, right? So my piece of advice would be conscious about your environment. And you save time and money if you carry your own things. Forget the environment for the time being. Just carrying your own water bottle, you could save $10 a week.
Yep, that's brilliant. I love that. Yeah, single-use plastics, man. It's a modern-day convenience, but it's also not the brightest thing we've ever done. That's for sure. Excellent. Vish, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
They can reach me on LinkedIn. You can look me up on LinkedIn. Otherwise, my phone number would be 254-444-7300. So they can text me or they can call me on that number anytime.
Perfect. Wonderful. I appreciate that. And if you're looking up Vish on LinkedIn, that's V-I-S-H, last name Muni, M-U-N-I. Vish, thanks so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.